At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Want to increase your salary? Discover your earning potential with CareerBuilder. CareerBuilder.com knows you have superpowers that make you good at your job. They're called skills. And CareerBuilder.com has tools specially designed to help you move up, like CareerBuilder Colab. Check out resume examples. Learn what recruiters are looking for. Search salaries. And view different career paths based on your skills. You'll be amazed to know how many ways you can use the skills you already have to build your future. Visit CareerBuilder.com.
Welcome to Fantasy Football Weekly, a production of iHeartRadio.
Time now for Fantasy Football Weekly from iHeartRadio, your weekly source for the nation's best fantasy football advice, speculation, and whatever stupid stuff they decide to drop into the show. Now here's your host, Paul Charchian.
Hey everybody, it is a wild week of free agency, trading, so many things to talk about. My co-host today, after a long layoff, Matt Harrison back. Hey, buddy.
Hey, Charge. Last time we talked, it was right ahead of the Super Bowl. And now that we're talking again, it's the Super Bowl of free agent movement and just a frenzy of action this week. Yeah, maybe one of the busiest weeks in the NFL ever.
Yeah, for sure. There's a temptation to say it every year, like, wow, there's so many things happening. No, but this is, I swear this is different. Way more big name.
It feels different, definitely.
Yeah, it really does. We're going to highlight 20 plus guys that have moved, and we'll talk through all the new spots. Now, because we're doing 20, this is not going to be the deepest dive you're going to get on every one of these guys. But, Matt, my challenge to you with each guy is tell me if you think this person's situation represents an upgrade or a downgrade from last year.
All right. I can do that.
I think we can do it. Let's start the quarterback position. We got five guys that I want to touch on that are all potential starters for this year. Beginning with the big name, of course, Kirk Cousins, now in Atlanta. Obviously, no Justin Jefferson, and I think on that basis alone, you could consider this a downgrade for Cousins. But it's not like he doesn't have weapons. You get Drake London, Kyle Pitts, Bijan Robinson. Give me your thoughts on Kirk Cousins and whether or not you feel this is an upgrade or downgrade versus last year.
Well, I took a look at the way too early ADPs on Fantasy Pros right now, and Cousins was going number 19 among quarterbacks.
What? Wow, okay.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Isn't that crazy?
He hasn't finished that low in about 6-7 years. That's wild.
Well, so with this move, I think people are going to be all over this from a fantasy community aspect, because I think that everybody thinks that because it's Pitts and London and Bijan Robinson, that because those guys were all top 10 picks, automatically Cousins is in a better spot. So I think the fantasy community is going to think he's in a better spot. I'm kind of with you. I think it's kind of a wash for a spot, but I expect him to rise in ADP to, I think he's going to be about 11th. When it all is said and done in August, I think he'll leap. The guys in front of him right now that I was like, he'll jump over all these guys. It was Rodgers, Stafford, Goff, Tua, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, and Kyler Murray. And I think he jumps all of those guys.
Yeah, I think that's probably a fair assessment. That ADP of 19 had to be, a lot of that's got to be pre-draft, you know, or pre-trade. You know, baked in,
yeah,
where you didn't know where Kirk was going to end up, and you know it could have been a much worse situation. Atlanta feels like an offense that's kind of ready to explode and take a next big step with anything resembling competent quarterbacking, because they haven't had it in so long. That's and the weapons they've got. You know, London, Pitts, and Robinson are all top. They were all drafted in the like lottery pick first round, right? top eight
for all of them.
Yeah, right. So, you know, a great opportunity for Kirk Cousins to walk in and do really no worse than he had been. Just no Jefferson. You know, he had Jefferson and Hockenson and Addison, and those were some, you know, great proven weapons. But it's easy to project London, Pitts, and Robinson being roughly that good. All right, let's move over to Gardner Minshew going over to Las Vegas. As it stands at this moment, he would be your probable week one starter, but I think the Raiders likely make a move in the draft. What are your thoughts? And, you know, he does have some weapons there as well. And, you know, you can make a case for, you know, in terms of weaponry, about the same as what he had in Indianapolis. Do you view this as an upgrade or a downgrade for Gardner Minshew?
You know, I kind of look at this as a wash too, but if you have to put one on there, I think it's got to be an upgrade because I think he's got the opportunity to hold this job as long as he can. To me, the Raiders look like they're primed to take like the Bo Nix or Michael Penix, like in the second round, and have them as like a project quarterback. Mm-hmm. It looks like it's Gardner Minshew to Devontae Adams all day, every day in Las Vegas all year. And if he can hold the job, and you know, Minshew's been a solid quarterback. He led the Colts to almost a playoff berth last year. And he's, to me, he's like the best possible like bridge guy you can get in the league right now.
Not only Devontae Adams, but also Jakobi Meyers. And Michael Mayer has the right to get better in year two, right? As a highly drafted
Absolutely.
Rookie. So, you know, I think the weaponry for Gardner Minshew is maybe even a little bit better here. You know, you know, Pittman was obviously very good. Downs had moments, but I feel like there's some really established good receiving talent for Gardner Minshew. Let's go to Sam Darnold, currently your Vikings starting quarterback, and Vikings probably put a draft pick at quarterback. Don't know where that'll be. Pick 11's kind of a no man's land for quarterbacks right now, where the Vikings select in the NFL draft. So Darnold could be your starter for week one and beyond, but you know, this has still got some areas to change. More interceptions than touchdowns throughout Sam Darnold's career. Massive downgrade for Justin Jefferson, Hockenson, and Addison now as they go from Kirk Cousins to Sam Darnold, at least for the moment, or a rookie, you know, bridge-type rookie quarterback of some kind, too, is a possibility. What are your thoughts on Sam Darnold? Personally, for Darnold, obviously a big upgrade going from a backup status to potential starter.
Well, I think the Vikings made it clear this morning when they made the trade to get pick number 23 from the Texans that they are looking to move up. They're going to bundle 11 and 23 and either move up to 4, 5, or 6 and get their quarterback that they want. Maybe it's even 3 with New England and get one of the top 3 guys. So to me, I think Darnold is the safety valve and the backup, but it seems clear that Kwesi is making moves to try to get their preferred quarterback of the future.
I think if you had to fight, you had to ask me right now who the week one starter is, I would still have to say Sam Darnold until I see them actually able to execute that trade and land their guy, which is not necessarily going to be a given. Jakobi Brissett goes to New England where he's at least for the moment the starter there, but and should have been the starter at the end of last year after the shell-shocked Sam Howell got beaten into submission over the course of a almost record-setting level of sacks absorbed for him. Brissett seems unlikely to be the week one starter, however, another scenario where picking at 3, New England likely goes with a quarterback.
So do you remember that the Patriots traded Brissett back in the day?
Yeah.
So do you remember who they traded him for?
Not anymore, no.
First round pick wide receiver Philip Dorsett.
Oh, jeez, God! Wow, wow.
So the Patriots essentially got Philip Dorsett for free for a while, really. So
that's a lateral move right there.
Yeah, I mean, with Mac Jones on the move to Jacksonville, I think Brissett is kind of the guy that's locked in there. And to me, the Patriots need a lot of things to get better. And it seems like they could go, you know what, we want to take Marvin Harrison Jr. at pick 3, or we want to trade back and gather more picks. I think that there's a pretty real scenario that the Patriots go into this year and just go, we're going to let Brissett be the quarterback this year, and we're going to try to kind of rebuild this team with Gerard Mayo as the new coach, and just kind of get that edge back before they try to go get the quarterback. So I think there's a real scenario that Brissett is the starter there.
I disagree, but we'll find out as it goes. And it's and obviously an upgrade for Jacoby Brissett. You know, the receiving group is so bad. You got Juju Smith-Schuster and Kendrick Bourne, and that's about it. And you know, for Brissett, who's played competent ball, by the way, throughout you know the latter the last two or three years of his career, when he has been asked to play, you know, but this is this might be the worst offense in football. Potentially.
I mean, they just got Jalen Reagor there in New England, too,
right?
So,
yeah.
I mean, he's got that going for him.
Russell Wilson is your new starter in Pittsburgh, and he will be the starter. Now, after the Deontay Johnson trade, all he's got to throw to is George Pickens. Other than that, it's Dez Fitzpatrick and Calvin Austin. And maybe Pat Freiermuth makes a step forward. Should be great. Although Russ has never seemed to prioritize tight ends, has he? I'm trying to think.
No, he really hasn't.
Has any tight end just blossomed with Russell Wilson, a quarterback?
Jimmy Graham in the Seahawks days? Right,
Didn't he kind of go backwards from where he was with the Saints?
Yeah, probably.
I think so.
I mean, if you ask me, the biggest winner in free agency so far is George Pickens, right? He got an upgrade at quarterback, and his co-wide receiver one got shipped out of town. It seems like 200 targets are a lock for George Pickens right now.
So for Russell Wilson, is this an upgrade or a downgrade from where he was last year in Denver?
You know, it's probably a downgrade. Well, you know what? I think it's an upgrade. I think just a fresh scenario for him. It never was working in Denver. And the wide receivers were obviously overrated because we're going to talk about Jerry Jeudy getting moved in the not too distant future. But, I think with the running game and the way that the Steelers are just going to play and play bully ball, I think it's probably a little bit of an upgrade for Russell Wilson, but he still won't be on many of my teams.
I'm on downgrade just because Cortland Sutton is so good and way better than what George Pickens has shown himself to be. But I do like the idea that Wilson's going to play with a chip on his shoulder in a way that he never has before. I mean, he's playing for the veteran minimum. He got ignominiously thrown aside by his old team. I'm really curious to see how this ends up working and if it works at all. I guess we'll find out. Let's work in a quick break, Matt. Let's come back and talk running backs. I can't remember so many big name running backs changing spots. We'll check in on Derrick Henry and all the rest when we come back.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome back, Fantasy Football Weekly. Paul Ciarci and Matt Harrison. Matt, you've already updated cheat sheets at Shock Fantasy.
Yeah, the latest cheat sheet will be fresh up on the site later today, Friday. So, we're going to have the dynasty angles all covered for you. And I think I'm excited about making some dynasty trades right now.
Yeah, it's always a good time. It's always a good opportunity, isn't it? Because everybody in this week, this is like the buzziest week of the whole offseason until training camp starts. And so a lot of opportunity to sort of get ahead of the curve on some of the big players that have moved, like Derrick Henry. Let's talk about him as he goes to Baltimore. I think this is an upgrade for Derrick Henry because you get a better offensive line. This is the PFF's sixth best run-blocking offensive line in Baltimore. He's got a potential thunder and lightning situation with Keaton Mitchell, but he's coming off the ACL in December. You know, his status very much up in the air. So this thing could be a – Derrick Henry could be your lead workhorse back, at least for the beginning part of the season. And I'm really intrigued. I feel like this is one of the best possible landing spots for Derrick Henry.
I do too. I think it's the biggest boom or bust play in fantasy for the 2024 season too. So Henry was PFF's number five graded running back last year. Mm-hmm. And what everybody kind of thought was a down year, he did pretty well. But I will note, over the last six seasons, he's averaging 290 carries per year.
Dang.
And in 2021, the year that he got hurt and missed eight games, he was on pace for 438 carries that year. He's got so much mileage on him right now.
I know.
That's the thing that just really worries me for a 30-year-old running back coming in on his eighth season, or this will be his ninth season, actually.
Yeah.
I'm just a little nervous that it could be over real quick.
It could. I mean, he didn't look like the same guy this past year. And, you know, we know the end is coming. It's just how close. Can we grind out one more good season of Derrick Henry? And I want to believe we can.
This definitely isn't prime Derrick Henry. And I think people are going to draft him like it is prime Derrick Henry. And he's going to be like the fifth or sixth running back off the board next year. But, man, that just seems scary to me.
He could still be sitting at 12, 14 touchdowns, though. Just, you know, even if he's not great, you know, even if he's 4 yards per carry with a good offensive line, all the other threats that defenses have to account for, including, of course, Lamar Jackson. And knowing that they don't use Lamar Jackson at the stripe, Derrick Henry, obviously, you know, built perfectly for goal line use, one of the best players that way ever, man, he could still be sitting on double-digit touchdowns.
I agree. That's why it's going to be boom or bust. If he can stay healthy and stay on the field the whole year with all the miles he's got on those legs, I think it could be he could be the number one running back in fantasy next year.
DeAndre's,
the downside is he could be just destroyed.
It could be. He could be completely spent at this point. DeAndre Swift gets a sizable downgrade in my mind. Going from the lead back in a powerful offense like the Eagles, now he goes to Chicago, where he's in a muddy timeshare with Khalil Herbert and Roschon Johnson. They're likely going to start over with a rookie quarterback who's going to learn on the job. This feels like a pretty sizable downgrade for DeAndre Swift to me.
We're going to start getting into a lot of these running backs. A lot of these running backs were graded pretty poorly by Pro Football Focus last year. Surprisingly, DeAndre Swift, 27th graded running back, behind guys like AJ Dillon and Tyler Algier and Chuba Hubbard. He's behind those guys. So here's why I think that this could be an upgrade, though. He was just completely blocked from ever scoring touchdowns in Philly by Jalen Hurts.
That is true.
He only had five rushing touchdowns last year. He had to break all those from deep. I think that the Bears are going to give Swift the opportunity to be a goal line back, something he wasn't in Detroit, something he wasn't in Philly. He's got an opportunity here that we've never seen him have.
Zach Moss goes to Cincinnati, and a fascinating move for Zach Moss. He'll have to battle Chase Brown, who had some moments where he looked really good, and he had some big plays for Cincinnati. But with Joe Mixon gone to Houston, we'll talk about him in just a second. I think this is an upgrade opportunity. Zach Moss, who looked really good with Indy when in that first portion of the season before Jonathan Taylor came back. And head coach Zach Taylor usually has a workhorse back, and he's not been a committee guy. I think Zach Moss rolls in as the probable workhorse for week one. I see it as an upgrade. How do you see it?
Well, yeah, that's kind of what I was wondering. This offense has featured one back basically since Joe Mixon got there. And is Chase Brown the chosen one, or is Zach Moss the chosen one? That'll be the interesting thing as we near July and August to see how they treat these guys in training camp. to see who's playing in preseason games and how they're playing, to hear all the coach speak coming out of camp. It, to me right now, it's buyer beware on Zach Moss, just because I don't know what I'm getting into. It could easily be Chase Brown's backfield.
Let's go to Joe Mixon, who then goes to Houston. This was a baffling move for Houston. Hated their decision-making on this to let Devin Singletary go, and we'll talk more about him in a minute, and then give a three-year contract to Joe Mixon, who just looked washed up and ineffective last year. Plus, Houston ranked 25th in rushes per game, and they're heavily pass-oriented. I love the Texans. They're like my second favorite team. I love what they've built, and there's so many things I love about what they're doing offensively, defensively. But, man, this is such an uninspired, baffling move. I don't like it, but it represents for Joe Mixon personally, I think it might represent an actual upgrade over what he had in Cincinnati and how he looked in that team last year. What do you think about Joe Mixon here?
I think it might be a downgrade, and here's why. There was a great tweet out there by Scott Barrett, and one of the things that Barrett cited in this tweet is Bobby Slowick has a Shanahan-influenced zone running scheme, and both Damian Pierce and Joe Mixon, while playing in man gap concept runs, they were both over 4 yards per carry, but both were at least 20% worse in zone concept runs in the last 2 years. Joe Mixon, a 3.3 yards per carry. Damian Pierce, a 3.4 yards per carry. So this just might be the wrong scheme for him. Maybe Joe Mixon is talented enough to overcome it.
No,
but
I don't think so.
To me, I just think that this might be an issue, and it could be a Pierce-Mixon split backfield. We could see Joe Mixon getting 11, 12 carries a game. That's it. And once you do that, and we're having CJ Stroud chuck the ball all over the field, I think it's just going to be almost like the old Houston Oilers, and it's going to be four wide receivers. Let's chuck the ball.
Run and shoot, coming back. Let's go to Josh Jacobs as he moves to Green Bay in a bit of a surprise move. Overall, he gets a much better total offense with the Packers. The improbable re-signing of A.J. Dillon, which I did not see coming. I thought they were finally going to wash their hands of him. I don't think that impacts Josh Jacobs a lot, but Matt LaFleur has never used a workhorse back. He's always been a rotation guy. So Jacobs comes in off his worst season by a mile, but still pretty young. I think he's 26 years old. Green Bay, not a great run-blocking offensive line. They're ranked 23rd in run-blocking by Pro Football Focus, 16th in run-block win rate. So kind of middle of the pack, lower middle of the pack. But maybe Jacobs, who's always been a workhorse, maybe he'll be a workhorse here too. What are your thoughts on Jacobs? Is this? I view this as an upgrade over his situation last year. Do you view it as an upgrade or a downgrade?
Well, it's got to be an upgrade just because Las Vegas just botched the offense seemingly all year last year. However, Jacobs, who was in 2022 the top rushing running back in the league, he was the number 31 Pro Football Focus graded running back last year. And by the way, the Packers just jetted the number 6 ranked running back, Aaron Jones. Yeah. So it could be that Aaron Jones, even though he's 3 years older, he might have just been the better running back. And is Josh Jacobs just walking into an Aaron Jones role where it's like a 60-40 split? With A.J. Dillon there, it seems like they know what they want him to do. They know what part of that offense they want him to be. So I just think that he's walking into a split backfield situation, and he might not be as good as Aaron Jones.
Let's go to Aaron Jones. Goes to Minnesota.
Yeah.
Now, I think what hurts Aaron Jones here is Kevin O'Connell just doesn't run much. He's ranked 28th and 30th in rushing attempts the past 2 years. Jones will open up some passing opportunities, but Kevin O'Connell hasn't thrown to running backs in the past either. Dalvin Cook, who was a capable receiver 2 years ago, just 39 receptions. And last year, Alexander Mattison, who's not as good a receiver, just 30 catches. You know, Jones is better than any of those in both pass protection and as a receiver, but I'm not sure that, you know, Kevin O'Connell hasn't shown a propensity to want to unlock that part of his running backs. I view this as a slight downgrade from last year for Aaron Jones. How do you see it?
You know, I think it might be an upgrade because we've seen 2 years of Kevin O'Connell, and he had Dalvin Cook, who obviously, I mean, pun intended, was kind of cooked. Like, the Vikings knew at the end of the year, the metrics all said it. He just wasn't himself anymore in his last year in Minnesota. And Alexander Mattison was the epitome of just a guy. He was a warm body out there. Ty Chandler took over for him in the later part of the season. And Kevin O'Connell really hasn't had a good running back. If Aaron Jones shows anything, he might be the best running back that Kevin O'Connell's had as a head coach so far. And I think that having Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison and TJ Hawkinson when he comes back, I think that'll help open up the field for Aaron Jones. And I think that they might run a little bit more this year. And it's a one-year deal for Jones in Minnesota. So they could just run him into the ground. They could just go, we're going to give you 250 carries this year. Have at it, bud.
Well, I think he'd break down on that many because he gets hurt every year.
Probably.
So that's that's the other part why I don't think he can be a workhorse back, because, you know, the history suggests that he'll end up getting hurt, the knees, the constant knee injuries. I want to touch briefly on Gus Edwards as the Chargers have remade their entire offense. I mean, no longer Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, and Austin Eckler, all gone. I mean, this, you know, it is such a different offense. Gus Edwards walks into a very possible starting role. He only has to beat out Isaiah Spiller to win the starting job. I think the Chargers are primed to draft a running back, but in the moment, they haven't done that yet, and Gus Edwards is the presumed starter.
Yeah, and don't you think that this is quite obvious? Like, Jim Harbaugh is going to draft Blake Corum in, like, the third round.
It does feel that way, doesn't it? Yes.
But, you know, I think Edwards is, I mean, right now, he's the only guy getting touches on the Chargers offense. There's no wide receivers to compete with. He already beat Isaiah Spiller just by showing up. there's nothing else right now. And, you know, the Chargers are definitely going to draft somebody in probably the second day or third day of the NFL draft. But Gus Edwards, surprisingly pretty decent, 21 last year on Pro Football Focus's rankings. So, and he knows the staff well, with some Harbaugh remnants there I always want to call them the Clippers because it's LAC, the Chargers. So,
let's go over to Austin.
He's got James Harden. He's got Kawhi Leonard.
Let's go to Austin Eckler since we just mentioned him. He now goes to Washington. This is, I think, a pretty sizable downgrade in total offense and probable role. I think he becomes the receiving back with Brian Robinson as the lead back, although Robinson's not good. So maybe Eckler gets a bigger role than I think, but the offensive line also in Washington, bad. Mediocre at best. I think they're bad. Watching far too much Commanders football last year. I see Eckler as a change of pace, pass-catching guy in an ideal scenario, could catch 50 passes in the season, but I just don't like the totality of that offense very much, and I'm worried about Eckler being more than just a flex-level running back this year. You see this as the same downgrade I see it as?
Yeah, I see it as a downgrade, definitely, for Eckler personally, but I think it might help him because he definitely was wearing down being the lead back in Los Angeles over the last few years. And this might look almost more like when Melvin Gordon was kind of the lead back for the Chargers and Eckler was the change of pace guy. And Eckler was, you know, still a quality player at that point and a flex level starter. So that's the hope, but there's a lot of moving pieces in Washington. There's a new head coach, Cliff Kingsbury is the new offensive coordinator. They're going to have a new quarterback at two. So a lot of different things are going to fall here, and it's going to be very interesting to see how this all works out.
Let's go to Devin Singletary, who migrates over to the Giants. I, again, don't understand what Houston did here. They were able to utilize Singletary, you know, once they basically locked in on Singletary after Thanksgiving last year, the high usage rate, and I thought he looked pretty good doing most of the things that they wanted him to do, but then they let Singletary walk. He goes to the Giants, where everything's worse. I think this is a downgrade, right? Your quarterback is worse with the Giants. Your offensive line somehow worse than Houston, which is saying a lot. Wide receivers worse, just the whole offense worse. I don't love this move for anybody involved. I see it as a downgrade for Singletary. Do you feel differently?
I mean, the whole offense is definitely worse. That's definitely a downgrade. But the opportunity here, I think the opportunity here is really interesting with Saquon gone. I think Devin Singletary pops into almost a Saquon-like role in a Brian Daboll offense. And by the way, those two know each other from Buffalo when they were back there together.
I'm sure that was a big part of it.
If Daboll thought Singletary was just a lame player, he wouldn't have brought him in. So
yeah, but he didn't use him in Buffalo very much at all. He was just a rotational guy for Daboll in Buffalo.
Yeah, I think that's true, but I kind of like this. I think this one's sneaky. Unless the Giants draft a running back, I think Singletary, out of all of these guys, might have the ability to be kind of like the sneaky bell cow out of this bunch.
Saquon Barkley, obviously gone from the Giants, goes over to Philadelphia, hated rival, and really a surprise move, I think, in the minds of many. So he goes from extremely high utilization in New York, where he was basically the whole offense once Daniel Jones went down, to a probable timeshare back in Philly, because that's what they always have. You know, last year, Philadelphia running backs combined for 75 receptions. I like that. Barkley could be sitting on a 40-50 receiving yard year or reception year. And that part I like, but you know, we know that you have the downside of your quarterback housing your touchdowns. Anything up close, all the easy touchdowns get siphoned off to Jalen Hurts. That's a downer. I think almost every part of this is downgrade other than offensive line for Saquon Barkley.
I don't know how you can think this is a downgrade. He went from a horrible Giants offensive line with no quarterback to a quarterback that is mobile and can move around. And really, who's he fighting with? Kenneth Gainwell and Boston Scott for touches? They didn't bring in Saquon Barkley to give touches to Kenneth Gainwell. They brought him in to carry the load here. I think he's going to be a bell cow here, but I have the same concern that you do. Will he get the carries inside the five? I think that that's the biggest issue. The tush push has been so good for the Eagles, and Jalen Hurts has scored so many touchdowns on the ground that I kind of wonder, are they bringing in Barkley because they think they can take some hits off of Jalen Hurts? Will the tush push work without Jason Kelce? I think those are both interesting things. So I think it's an upgrade for Barkley. And I think that his stock is going to continue to rise throughout the offseason.
Tony Pollard gets, I think we'll agree on this one, a downgrade as he goes to Tennessee, where he's going to have to battle Tajay Spears for time. Spears looked dynamic, fast. I like him better as a sophomore, potentially, for doing a lot of the nuanced work that you want your running back to do. And last year proved that Pollard can't be a workhorse. So now he's back in a timeshare, a little bit like he was with Zeke a couple of years ago, where Pollard was effective, but the totality of the Tennessee offense is a major bummer here. And I think Spears is just playing better right now than Tony Pollard is.
Yeah, I think that there's no way that you can look at this and think that Pollard's going to get anything better than a 50-50 split here, right? It just seems to me that they're going to try to have two guys and they're going to try to utilize them in different ways and try to keep them both fresh. So unfortunately, I think it's kind of a bummer for both Spears and Pollard because I think it makes it very difficult to feel confident in starting either one of them in fantasy games.
I acquired Spears in so many leagues last year, in Dynasty and Empire leagues, under the assumption that Henry was going to leave, which he did, and that Spears would have an opportunity to have a big role in this offense. Now I'm not so sure. Nervous about that. Let's take a break. When we come back, wide receiver moves. We've got a handful of guys to talk through, including Marquise Brown, new Kansas City Chief. Let's talk through that and when we come back.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
All right, Matt, you ready to roll up your sleeves on wideouts?
Oh, they're already rolled up. Let's go.
Yeah, I'm wearing short sleeves. That's how rolled up mine are. I almost didn't want to spend, you know, we got to pick and choose our battles here. Let's just spend a second on Darnell Mooney, who goes from Chicago to Atlanta, where he gets a big upgrade in quarterback, you know, right? From Fields to Cousins, from passing acumen, it's not close. But he also drops to fourth or fifth in the pecking order for balls thrown his way for targets, and that worries me about Darnell Mooney.
Well, and then they traded for Rondale Moore too, and I think those are two like completely perfect guys that defenses will have to account for, but fantasy players won't have to put on their roster ever because they're never going to get more than like three or four targets per game. They're just there to be decoys, draw the defenses away from Pitts in London. I think that it's a perfect landing spot for both, but not if you want to play them in fantasy.
Downgrade. We agree. And you know what? Is Rondell Moore going to have three good games this year? Yes. Is Darnell Mooney going to have three good games this year? Yes. Good luck finding when those are going to happen, and why would you roster those guys all season waiting for those three games?
Yeah, at best, both of those guys are just best ball league flyers at the tail end of your draft.
Well stated. Deontay Johnson goes to Carolina. I'll be interested in whether or not you think this is an upgrade. Similar skill set to Adam Thielen, but will certainly start along with Adam Thielen. You know, Bryce Young's got the potential to be better than any quarterback that Deontay Johnson has had since Ben Roethlisberger, if he improves, and I think he will. You know, presumably better coaching and Bryce, second year for Bryce Young, he'll get a little better. Do you think this is an upgrade or a downgrade for Deontay Johnson?
You know, I kind of think it's an upgrade. I think that Bryce Young has to be better than Kenny Pickett. The Panthers did invest in two guards for their offensive line, so that should give him a little bit more time. And with both Johnson and Thielen out there, and Bryce Young hasn't been a guy who's like been looking for that downfield threat right now, it looks like the Panthers are going to kind of dink and dunk their way down the field. It seems like each of these guys might be sitting on, you know, 100 receptions this year, but they're all going to be short. They're all going to be within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage. And I think that that's the way Carolina is going to play it and see if Deontay and Thielen can, you know, use their skills to get past and to win some extra yardage.
Let's go to Jerry Jeudy. He gets traded to Cleveland. This is not a surprise. There was talk of him being traded at the deadline last year, and then he kind of got iced out of the offense and he was in the doghouse. Sean Payton's doghouse is a freaking mansion. It is epically large, and once you're in it, there's no reversing your way out of a Sean Payton doghouse. Now, what's interesting about this landing spot in Cleveland, Matt, Jerry Jeudy runs primarily from the slot. So does Elijah Moore. And while both of them can run outside and they do run outside routes, you've always felt like both of them have a natural position in the slot. Also into the consideration for Jerry Jeudy is he goes from Russell Wilson to Deshaun Watson. And I'm not sure if that's an upgrade or downgrade. It feels like roughly a lateral move. I'm not a Deshaun Watson guy, even as a passer. So what are your thoughts here on Jerry Jeudy? Is this an upgrade or a downgrade as he goes to Cleveland?
I mean, it's from the doghouse to the dog pound, right?
Yeah, good. Well, yeah, very nicely done. Yeah. Nicely done.
The Browns give up almost nothing to just kick the tires on Jerry Jeudy for a while. I mean, the Browns have, you know, Elijah Moore was a high draft pick. Amari Cooper was a high draft pick, and Jerry Jeudy was a high draft pick. And now they've acquired all three of these guys for, you know, late round flyers. I kind of dig the way that they're just kind of checking out these guys and just trying to build an offense around in a cheap way. And they really have to with all the collateral they gave up to get Deshaun Watson. Problem is, I think that you kind of stated it. Is Deshaun Watson any good?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if he is. I don't know if he's an upgrade over Russell Wilson right now. In fact, if I had to pick between the two, I'd probably take Russell Wilson right now.
I can't say that I blame you. I think the whole, you know, obviously Deshaun Watson was a good passer with Houston. I just think that whole 2 years just sort of broke him. And maybe he can come back from that psychologically, but I need to see it first. Speaking of broken players, Gabe Davis killing fantasy owners with a season that somehow last year was even more all or nothing than the previous ones. He'll fill in Jacksonville. He'll fill the void left by Calvin Ridley, but I don't feel like he's that Gabe Davis is any safer in Jacksonville than he was in Buffalo. He gets a downgraded quarterback. Not that Trevor Lawrence is bad. Obviously he's not bad, but he's not Josh Allen, who has one of the great long ball arms in the league. And that's Gabe Davis's deal. It's catching long bombs. So to me, this feels like a downgrade. Do you see the Gabe Davis move to Jacksonville any differently, Matt?
Yeah, I think it's a downgrade too. I mean, he replaces Ridley, but really what happened is Christian Kirk just took his number one wide receiver role back in that offense. And I think it's Kirk's offense. And I think Gabe Davis is just going to be Gabe Davis. He's going to pop off every once in a while and have a good game. And he's probably not going to be very startable. He's another best ball flyer for me.
Marquise Brown goes to Kansas City, where he might be the biggest gainer that we talk about out of this whole list. I think he brings speed back to the Chiefs wide receiver group. Always been a super streaky producer where you'd have a run of like three or four really good games. And you're like, oh, it's starting to click for Marquise Brown. And then he'd go on like a half season long dry spell. Okay, killing fantasy owners. So the question, Matt, is can Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes help Marquise Brown gain consistency? Upgrade or downgrade for Marquise Brown? Got to be an upgrade.
It's 100% an upgrade. Kansas City kind of just decided a while ago that they're going to try to gather up all the wide receivers in the league. And now they finally shed some of that dead weight with like Marquez Valdez-Scantling leaving and a few others. I think Marquise Brown is now like the solid wide receiver two there. And they might actually just be rolling out with two or three wide receivers instead of rotating six or seven into the game. So he signed there on a one-year deal. It's definitely a prove-it deal. He's had 100 targets in each of his last four seasons. Give him 100 Patrick Mahomes targets now and see what he does with them.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting.
I think that we're looking at 80 catches and at least 1,000 yards for Marquise Brown, and he's got the ability to break six or seven touchdowns. So
somebody in your league is going to draft him in the third round.
Marquise Brown in the third round?
Yep. I think in every league, you get 12 guys together. One of those 12 is going to be so tantalized by the upside of Marquise Brown catching balls from Patrick Mahomes that somebody's going to take him that early.
Man, I just think that there's so many good wide receivers right now that, I mean, everybody knows that he's going to be the number two there. But, I mean, you're looking at him, you know, probably right around the 24th, 25th wide receiver off the board.
Yeah, that
and
should be sixth
right
round
there,
territory.
That's like Mike Evans, DK Metcalf, Tank Dell, Devonta Smith, Amari Cooper, Drake London. Like, those guys are better than Marquise Brown.
I think so too. I think in every league, somebody's going to be really fascinated by him. We'll find out. Calvin Ridley goes to Tennessee in what I view as a downgrade and a bad contract. I hate this move by Tennessee. You don't have a solution at quarterback. You sign a guy who was highly inconsistent last year to 4 years, $92 million, $50 million guaranteed. He goes from Trevor Lawrence to Will Levis, at least for the time being, for Calvin Ridley. Get this. I got a great Calvin Ridley stat for you. He finished as a top 10 wideout six games last year, Matt. In the other 11 games, he averaged wide receiver 55 with an average line of 3 catches for 36 yards and 0.1 touchdowns. He brought zero consistency to the Jacksonville offense, and now he goes to undisputably a worse passing offense in Tennessee. I see this as a downgrade. Do you?
Yeah, absolutely. His Pro Football Focus grade, he graded out similarly to Jacoby Myers, Elijah Moore, Zay Flowers, Adam Thielen. Those are the types of guys that you signed for like mid-level contracts. Mm-hmm. And they just signed Calvin Ridley to premium money. And I think that that's just a big mistake. I don't think the Titans know what they're doing. And I think that they're going to be selecting a quarterback next year very high in the NFL draft.
Well, by next year, we could be talking April. I mean, they could be going quarterback. What are they? Their pick
7.
7? Yeah, that could be a quarterback selection right there. Final guy to talk about. Keenan Allen in a shocker. That really disappointed me. I wanted Keenan Allen to end his career where he started it. Hall of Fame level career. I wanted him to start and finish his career with the Chargers. I'm disappointed that this happened to him. And I don't know if it's something that Keenan Allen wanted. Maybe he didn't want to be part of the Jim Harbaugh reboot. So maybe it's something that he wanted, but I love it when Hall of Famers finish with their career where they started it. He goes to Chicago, where presumably he'll be matched with Caleb Williams, who will learn on the job. And the great thing about Keenan Allen is he'll be exactly where he's supposed to be on the route, and he'll catch everything that they throw to him. And for a young quarterback, that is a luxury to have somebody like Keenan Allen. But from a pure fantasy standpoint, I view this as a downgrade move from where he was as Justin Herbert's lead receiver last year.
Yeah, I do too. He also turned 31 in April, and he missed 4 games last year due to injury and 7 the year before after pretty much having like a mostly injury-free prior like 8 or 9 seasons. So I'm a little nervous that the age is catching up to him, but he's just a route technician and his hands are as good as can be. So if he stays healthy, he's pretty much a lock for 100 catches, don't you think?
If you told me he's going to get, well, 100's a lot. If you told me I'm going to get 17 games, then yes, I think he'd probably get there. But I just don't think Keenan Allen is a 17 game a season guy anymore. Chicago looks like a very promising overall offense, but bringing in an aged veteran to me, still, it feels like a bit of an odd move for them. But again, he'll offer some value for Caleb Williams in that. We love that part. All right, Matt, great job. We had a lot of fun talking through all these guys. It was just so much movement. Heads on a swivel, right? Just like, what is happening? Unbelievable.
I can't
every
wait for
day.
The rest of the day today. I mean,
we're
recording this, Friday around lunchtime. And by the time that people hear this, there could be 6 more moves in the day. So
yes,
we better hit the button and get this one out. But I did want to note, Charge, there were no real good tight end movers, but your boy Jonnu Smith in Miami. How do you feel about Jonnu in Miami?
Well, it was the perfect landing spot for him. I mean, other than the fact that they've got other good receivers who are going to get most of the balls, but that is I love the athletic profile for Jonnu Smith has always been off the charts, and they covet that in Miami. Man, do they love their guys who are speed athletes, and that's what Jonnu Smith is at the tight end position. So I'm really optimistic about Jonnu Smith. You'll be shocked to learn.
Where's Jonnu going to rank in your tight ends next year?
Yeah, 2.
Is he going to – you're two?
I'll tell you what. I'm going to have Jonnu Smith as my second tight end in a lot of leagues. I'll tell you that much.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I have not refreshed my rankings, but I suspect he's going to clock in. And you have. I think I'm going to have him around tight end 15, 16. Where do you have him right now?
Well, I don't have him in my redraft ranks yet. I just have him on dynasty ranks, but
okay.
I think he's in the same range right now on the dynasty side, but I'm shocked that you're saying 15 or 16 and you're
not 8 or 9.
Teetering right outside of the top 10 there. And I think by the time July and August comes, you will have him in the top 10.
That is very
you're going to talk yourself into it.
Me? talked myself into some guy who I love the athletic profile on. Yeah, I can't imagine that happening. thanks, Matt. It's been a ton of fun. Next week, we're going to go back to Thor Nystrom and break down the rookie running back class next week. So very excited for that. And we encourage you to, as always, subscribe. Keep listening to Fantasy Football Weekly all off season, and we'll talk to you soon, everybody.
Fantasy Football Weekly is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.